everyone, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. I'm Monster B, and this is the second episode of How I Found Linux. And I'm very excited to say there will be an episode 3. And if you would like to be part of this, find out at the end of the show. Okay, enjoy.
Hi, I'm Gordon Sinclair. I am Thistleweb in the IRC. How I came to Linux? Basically, it started off with ideas for lots of different stories. So I got a word processor, which is basically an electronic typewriter, to see if I could do it. I got one second hand, I got it cheap. And it turned out that I got through one short story, and it turned out to be much better than I thought. So I thought, hey, you know what, I could do this for a living. I've obviously got something I could build on and learn and get better. So I figured it would be an investment to buy a PC. At this point, I'd used my mum and dad's Windows 98 machine, but I was very limited to what I could do with it. They never had it connected to the internet, and I never knew anything outside Windows. So I got a PC, spent a lot of money on a PC, and it's the same one I have just now. It's a Pentium 4, it came with XP Home on it. And I figured, well, since I've spent a fortune on this thing, a fortune certainly compared to my income, I'm going to make damn sure I'm going to learn how to keep this thing running, what to do, what not to do. Regular maintenance, learn how to fix it rather than keep spending lots of money on repairs. That was my motivation for starting learning how to use a PC properly, rather than just being satisfied as a regular user, basically. So from that, it turned out that the various things that I was looking into and the skill sets I was teaching myself, I found, hey, I'm picking this up a lot better than I thought I would. I wasn't struggling anywhere near as much as I expected to. So I figured, hey, maybe I could do this for a career. So that led me into looking at certifications, and that led me to the A+ and the MCP. I didn't know they were indoctrination programs at the time, because all I knew was Windows. But I went on both of them, and there was a Cisco course on at the same time who got their same tea breaks and lunch breaks at the same time as us. So we'd quite often meet them outside having a smoke and whatever. And a couple of them knew about Linux, and one of the guys had Mandrake 9.1 that he gave me a copy of, 3 CDs. And between them and one of the students in my MCP, who was also a teacher, who was resetting his exams, they have to do that every so often to be allowed to teach the courses. When I was sitting in that class, I could see his screen, and I could see what looked like Windows, but it wasn't Windows. It looked like Windows with some sort of a cool skin on it. And it turned out to be Nopix with KDE. But I only found that out once I started asking him about it. Anyway, between those two and the occasional reference to Linux in the course books and like one picture of a Red Hat desktop type of thing, well, what do you expect? It's CompTIA and Microsoft that do the course. So what do you expect, really? Between them, I started exploring Linux, but then I found out that with my newfound knowledge about partitions and file systems and all of this, the bravery to dual boot for the first time. And that was when I ran into problems of I was on dial-up. My modem was a WIN modem. I'd never even heard of the concept before that, but I struggled to get online. In fact, I couldn't get online with any of the Linux distributions that I tried. And I tried quite a few, because I liked what I saw. It just meant that any time I had to go online, I had to come back into Windows again. which was really annoying. But anyway, when I switched up to broadband, I thought, well, that's going to be different now. So, because I got a speed touch modem with my broadband provider, and I started renewed vigour going through lots of Linux distributions, and most of them required some firmware upgrades to work. Eventually, I found Mandriva 1 that found it okay, and I managed to get online, but that was buggy as hell. I moved from there to PC Linux OS, and I was on that for quite a while. That's an awesome distribution. But I was very KDE-centric. When I was distro hopping, I was trying different distributions. I'd look for KDE versions, and I wouldn't really... As much as I would try stuff with GNOME or XFCE or Fluxbox or whatever, my mindset was going in very closed. I was looking for things to not to like. Anyway, I eventually got kind of bored of KDE, moved to Ubuntu for a little while. I tried Ubuntu again and found that, hey, I actually quite like GTK. I like GNOME. And then I was on that for a little while, Ubuntu, and then found it was really, I mean, KDE and GNOME are really too heavy for my computer. I need this borderline. They work, but they're just too heavy, really, to be all that practical. So then, after I sort of liked or grew into GTK, I then gave XFCE another go, and it was like coming home, you know. It was like suddenly I felt like I've got something I really like using. So since then, I've basically been an XFCE user and looking for different distributions that have got good, strong, well implemented XFCE variants. And tried a few, and I've came to Linux Mint as my current favourite XFCE distribution. Woolvix is incredible as well. There's the only thing that I could see that would possibly draw me away from that is the Linux Mint KDE, is I really like the look of KDE 4. Or KDE 4.2 even, and the Mint's implementation of it looks really sweet. It's just my hardware doesn't really stand much of a chance at running KDE 4.2. That's why I've not even tried it yet. So there's that. I did flirt for a little while with Crunchbang, and I really liked that, but I found myself drawn back to Mint XFCE. So that's how I got to where I am just now, and well, how I came to Linux. So thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Hey, this is Terry F, and this is how I found Linux. It's the late 90s, probably around 2000, 99, 98, somewhere around there. I had a screwed up Windows 95 install. And I'd asked a friend of mine, Monster B, to give me a hand because I knew zero about computers. So he installed Windows 98 on it and had mentioned Linux at the time. So I had downloaded a version of Red Hat. I forget which version it was. I had dial-up, so it probably took a couple days. So I installed Red Hat on an old Packard Bell. Well, it wasn't really old then, but I guess it is now. A Packard Bell 486DX. It was a huge pain in the ass to install. Reading all kind of guides, partitioning the hard drive. It was just a thrill to get the sound to work at that point. But I got it installed and did absolutely nothing with it. So I dropped that, went back to Windows until about, I don't know, 3 years ago, somewhere around 3.5 years ago. Started with Ubuntu, and about, I don't know, maybe about 1.5 to 2 years ago, I've been on Linux exclusively. On my desktop, my laptop, and I've got a second desktop downstairs that I screw around with Slackware and Arch a little bit, Debian. But my dad also has an old laptop that I put Linux on for him that he uses daily. I just built a desktop, a home theater PC type case, but she uses it on her, built this for my mother. She uses it on her 47-inch TV, 42-inch TV, because she used to have a MSN2 TV box. That died, and I decided to build her a computer for her TV instead, and use a Bluetooth keyboard with an integrated mouse pad. Works great out of the box in Linux. She loves it. I built that last week, and loves it much more than the MSN TV. But that's pretty much my story.
Hello, Linux Cranks. My name is David. I live in New York City. In your last show, Clatu had an idea for how we got ourselves introduced to Linux. I would like to add that I got into Linux from using a Unix account back in 1993. And my first Linux distro was eDesktop 2.4 from Caldera. Right now I am currently using Arch Linux. I've been using Linux since 1995. And like they say, the rest is history. You guys have a great show, and I would love to see more Windows bashing. It makes your show more interesting. Sorry for any pops. I don't have a pop filter. All I'm using is a microphone. Anyway, that's my input, and I hope you use it, and have a great day.
Hi, this is Weeks from the Try GNU Linux Free Software Podcast. I found Linux in 2002 after a friend suggested it that I play around with it. I went and bought myself a book and read a good deal of it, then tried to install it on a system, and I really had no idea what to do with it once I had it installed. But nowadays I use it for a web server, for a database server, for home server and desktop and laptop. So really the sky's the limit. And in addition, it's introduced me into the whole world of free software.
How I got into Linux. Hello, my name is Ken Simeon, aka Script Monkey. When I was in my first software quality assurance job, I was first introduced to Linux back in 1998 by a software developer that wanted to make sure our in-hotel internet connection service would also work with the Linux operating system and not just Windows and Mac. He handed me a software box, but I don't remember if it was Caldera Linux or Corel Linux. I loaded up the distro without a problem on a Pentium 1 laptop, and I tested the OS with the Netscape web browser to make sure it all worked, and it did. About a year later, in 1999 or 2000, I was working for a different company that produced network appliances loaded with BSDI. I wanted a way to better interact with our products, and I was told to try Linux. At that time, I loaded Red Hat, Linux 5.5, or maybe 6.0, I don't remember which. I instantly fell in love with the ability to tweak, customize, and try new software packages without cost. I also loved that I didn't have to run Windows to get my work done. From that point on, I moved from not only running Linux at work, but also running Linux at home. I stuck with Red Hat until about release 8, or whenever they stopped producing a free desktop product, and switched Gentoo as my distro of choice. I ran Gentoo until about 2007, then I tried Fedora 7, 8, and eventually switched to Arch Linux based on the recommendation of Chess Griffin of Linux Reality. That is how I got into Linux.
Hello, this is Russ Winter, the host of the Techie Geek podcast. How did I find Linux? Well, we have to go back in time, back to 1983, when my dad brought home an Apple IIe. That was my first experience on a computer that I got to touch and to play with. And I remember my dad subscribed to some magazine where I could type in programs and get them to work, and it was very cool. And I played with computing up through college. I was exposed to Fortran in college, even some old punch card readers that were around. And then in 1990, I took a course in college on using the PC in the business. And that was a IBM PC. And I think around that time was when the geekness started to kick in, even more so than back in 83. It took 7 years to germinate, but in 1990, that's when it started to kick in. And where I worked at the time, we had some PCs out on the shop floor that ran DOS and used a program called DNC, which communicated with the automated equipment. And I learned everything I could about how those DNCs operated. And in 1993, I got promoted into the engineering office as a CAD designer. And the CAD software that they used was EDS Unigraphics, which ran on HP UX, which is a Unix platform. And what I found was most everybody, the engineers and everyone, just wasn't that interested in learning how to do much on the Unix platform. They just wanted to use the CAD software, and they avoided doing upgrades and backups and the things that they really should be doing. So I took an interest in how to do those things, and I learned how to grep and change directories and find files within the operating system itself. I often wonder if I had become a Unix admin back then in 1993, where my career could have gone. But instead, I stayed on the engineering track of things. Also in December of 1993, December 3rd to be exact, it was a Friday after work, I picked up my first PC that was my own. It ran Windows 3.11 and also had DOS 6.22 loaded on it. And I thought, this was it, man. I just learned everything I could about that computer, and I had it but a few days, and I began to wonder what exactly you could do with this thing called a modem. And it had a 2400 baud modem. And I learned about a program called Procom that I could use to connect to something called a bulletin board system. And I got hugely into the bulletin board scene. And one of the sysadmins that ran the bulletin board that I was really into said that he was going to begin an ISP and asked if I wanted to be one of the first members of the ISP. Yeah, heck yeah, I want to be one of the first members. And it ran on Sun Solaris 2, I believe it was. And I got something called a Unix shell account. And it looked very similar to what I knew from HP UX. So I started poking around quite a bit in the Solaris shell, and at the same time the interwebs was starting to get underway, and I learned how to use this directory called public HTML, and I started to experiment with some web design. And by 1996, I was very into the whole internet scene. In 1997, I switched companies and went to a company that had virtually no IT infrastructure at all. And the VP of engineering at that time was given the task of getting a PC on everyone's desk, getting internet, and getting email for everyone. Well, being the good delegator that he was, he gave that duty to me. And that was like the coolest thing. I mean, I had to do everything. Shop for an ISP, routers, firewalls. I ran every foot of Cat 5 cable in that company, everything. And the firewall was a white box PC, essentially, that ran OpenBSD. And OpenBSD seemed a little bit intimidating at the time, but I was quickly convinced that it was the best, most secure firewall out there. And to this day, I believe many firewalls still rely on that OpenBSD technology and the specifically the IP filtering program within OpenBSD. And in there, I learned a little bit about SendMail. I rekindled some of my interest with TAR and VI, and I really started to rekindle that interest in the Unix-style operating systems. And then one day, while surfing the internet, I came across an interesting link that mentioned a new type of Linux distro that ran from a live CD. And I was like, what the heck is a live CD? So I went and checked it out, and it said you could run a Linux distro completely off the CD without installing it. And the name of the distro was Nopix 3.1. And I said, yeah, I got to get me some of that. So I downloaded the ISO for that, and that was probably the beginning of the end for me, because when I saw how cool Linux Live CD was and how I was able to mount corrupted Windows drives that would no longer boot, and people were panicking that they lost their pictures and their data and their email and their favorites and their whatever, here I was able to drop in an Nopix CD, boot up, and save all their data. And every time a distro came out with a live CD, I downloaded it. Every time Nopix came out with a new version, I downloaded it. And to this day, I still download live CDs and try them all the time. Although more so these days, I download the ISO and install them into VirtualBox. So in 2002, my employer kind of got on a kick where they were going to send people for continuing training and anything that they wanted to go for as long as it was somehow work related. So at that time, I was very adept in Windows environment, but I really wanted to increase my knowledge in the Unix-like operating systems. So I signed up for Fundamentals of Unix Administration. And then right after that, I took Advanced Linux Administration. And by today's standards, even the Advanced Administration would seem not so advanced. But was very interesting to me and very surprising. I entered the classroom totally expecting to see HPUX or some other Unix operating system on the classroom PCs. And we booted up, and it said Slackware 8.0. And I was like, wow, this is Linux, isn't it? And the instructor went on to say that Slackware is the most Unix-like of the Linux distros, and that was in 2002, I believe. And I was like, cool, I could totally dig it. And I went for 5 days, I think, 2 days on the fundamental of Unix and then 3 days on the advanced. And all 5 days were in the command line. And it was very cool. And it was right around that time that Slackware 8.1 came out. So the instructor actually downloaded the ISO and said that if anyone was interested after the last day, he would show anybody who was interested how to install Slackware. And I was like, yeah, I'm very interested. I think I was the only one who stayed after. And we went through the whole installation of Slackware 8.1, which was a tremendous help, because when it hit that partitioning stuff, I would have had no idea what to do if he wasn't there to walk me through it. So just as soon as I could, when I got home with that Slackware 8.1 CD, it just went to the next level. I ran Slackware 8.1 for a long time, and then I installed Debian. And I ran Debian 3.0 for a long time. Then I got the itch to switch distros again, and I went to Fedora 6. And I ran Fedora 6 for a while, and then I ran Ubuntu. Gutsy Gibbon was the next GUI desktop that I ran. And then from there, I've been pretty much Ubuntu on my computers at home. Now, I have installed, on the server side, I have installed Debian, Ubuntu, and CentOS on server. So right now I have a CentOS server that I just upgraded to 5.3. At work, I have two Ubuntu machines, a Ubuntu Hardy Herring desktop and an Ubuntu Hardy Herring server. I just feel more comfortable staying on the long-term support software for the stuff I use at work. No hurry to upgrade there. And at home, I have the CentOS 5.3 server, and then I have three Ubuntu IBEX machines, two desktops. One I would consider my test machine. The other one was my main desktop until I got my System 76 Pangolin laptop, which runs 64-bit Ubuntu IBEX. So that's where I am today. I'm loving Linux. I'm 99% Linux at home. Unfortunately, as a Windows sysadmin, I don't get to use Linux very much at work, but I'm finding places to use it more and more. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. See ya.
All right, that was sweet. All right, come on, send your audio clips in. We want to hear from you. And you can send them to monsterb@linuxcranks.info and check the show notes for more information. Well, this has been fun. Thanks for listening to Hacker Public Radio, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.